It's got a little bit of a strange title. Surrender to Survive. I have a couple other titles. Two Losers, But One Wins. And the last title, It Ain't Always About You. We're going to go with Surrender to Survive. That's more spiritual and biblical, right? I'm sorry, I have to read my notes, so. Got to give you a little background. Our main focus is going to be on Jeremiah chapter 38, if you want to begin getting ready. I won't be there for a few minutes. Jeremiah 38, and the main verses are 17 and 18. But I need to give you the background a little bit. Jeremiah, you may have heard, was called the weeping prophet. And last night going over this sermon, I said, Lord, get that weeping prophet spirit off of me because I have to talk. I can't keep crying the whole time. So I guess I'm relating to him. Jerusalem is under siege. The siege lasted 18 months. So we're somewhere in that 18-month-long time period. Jeremiah, the prophet, was told by God the city would fall. He was done protecting people that wouldn't listen to him. He was telling people about the judgment that was to come. And that if they would surrender, they would live. That caused a big stink with the government leaders, the religious people. That was mutiny. That was blaspheme. And he got in trouble. A bunch of guys heard him. And in fact, they got so angry they wanted to kill him. They brought him before King Zedekiah. Now, King Zedekiah, he's a piece of work. He sent messengers at one point to Jeremiah and said, hey, tell Jeremiah to pray for the people of God. Another time he went to him and said, tell me what God has to tell me. Jeremiah didn't even want to tell him. He said, you'll just have me killed. And he promised, okay, I won't kill you. I won't let these men kill you. So here we are in front of the king again, and this is his response this time. Here he is. He's in your hands. Wow. What a king of faith. Just hand the prophet of God over to people that want to kill him. That's who was leading Israel. It may give you a little insight on why judgment was coming. But they did not, because the Jewish people had a problem with shedding his blood. That's against their belief. So instead, they throw him into a pit. This pit is a cistern. A lot of you young people don't even know that term, cistern, probably. It's how water used to be stored a long time ago. I actually had one in my backyard of the house I'm living at now until we did a little bit of putting a patio in and we had it filled up for safety. So it's not ancient as far as that goes. It was used relatively recently. But it was used in ancient times as well for water storage. But it didn't have no water in it. Why would that be? They had a siege against them for 18 months. They were running low on water. They were running low on food. And they put him down in this pit. They didn't throw him down because if they would have threw him in, he may have broken a leg, a bone would have stuck out, and he would have bled to death. Again, they had an aversion to shedding blood. So they lowered him down into this pit, into the mud. Anyone think that would be an extremely disgusting place to be? I do. And I'm sure, I don't care if it's summer or not, if you're down in a pit and you're in mud, you're probably going to be very cold and starving to death. There was a godly man in Jerusalem. Ebed-Melech was his name, if I'm saying that half right. And he went to the king. He saw what was going on and said, King Zedekiah, this is not right. This prophet should not be dying like this. King Zedekiah said, okay, I'm going to give you authority. You take 30 people and my authority and you get them up out of the pit. And so he did. But he was still imprisoned. He was not freed. Now, Jeremiah is sold out for God. He's not the problem. Disobedience is. It says earlier in the chapters about the king wouldn't listen, the government officials wouldn't listen, and even the people would not listen to him. And he was delivering the words God sent him to deliver. A foreign king is coming to be used as the hand of God, and no one's going to listen, and no one's going to surrender to God's will. They're somewhere near the end of this 18-month-long siege. And the people, there's people deserting, leaving at night, even soldiers. They're running out of food, water. They can see the handwriting on the wall. You don't have to be a genius when the entire kingdom of Babylon is knocking at your door. God in his mercy often makes a way for survival. And sometimes all you have to do to survive is surrender. That's what God was telling his people. If you surrender, we're going to read the main passage right now. Jeremiah 38, verses 17 and 18. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, and also some translation says the God of hosts, the God of armies. You may have read that in some of your translations. The God of armies says, if you surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon, one, your life will be spared. Two, and this city will not be burned. We're talking about Jerusalem, the holy city. And three, you, it repeats you, but then it adds, and your family will live. Jehovah God, the Lord of armies, is telling them, you can survive, but you have to surrender. And if you surrender, you, your family, the city, are all going to be okay. God was telling them through the prophet, save yourself, save your city, save your family. Do you need the God of armies? Everybody wants to say, yes, we are victorious. The God of armies says, surrender. Americans have a real problem with this. Does your family need saving or rescuing? Surrender. Does your city need saved? Your workplace have people that need rescuing and saved? We have to surrender and let God work out his plan through us. God loves you individually. And each of us is saved individually by God when we ask, we believe, we confess. But we are not saved just for ourselves. We have a plan of God in us. We have our families. We have our cities dependent upon us surrendering. And after he tells King Zedekiah this, Zedekiah, in true form, and we follow that form sometimes, what's he do? Makes excuses. He says, but what about my friends? Maybe not exactly those words. He says, I'm afraid of the Jews who have gone over to the Babylonians, for the Babylonians may hand me over to them and they will mistreat me. Wah. Excuse. And don't try to cover up your mistakes, your errors, your sins. Verse 24. Zedekiah says, Jeremiah, do not let anyone know about this conversation. Heaven forbid his image is tarnished with his friends, that he spoke to the prophet that they imprisoned. And he wants you to, Zedekiah just wants him to lie. Just lie about me and my fears. Verse 25 and 26. Save the image that others have of me. That's what the king was saying. What about you? Do you really care more about what people think of you than what God already said about you and to you? With all that he has offered, I'm going to go to the second player of the two losers. A man named King Jehoiachin, if I'm saying that right. You scholars will have to correct this when you get home if you're taking notes. I don't know how to say some of these names. Jehoiachin was in prison in Babylon for 37 years. Foreign land. But a new king came along. Weird name, Evil Murdoch. But he was the new king. A new king came into power, and he set Jehoiakim free. He spoke kindly to him. That's unusual for a foreign king. Now, this kingdom of Babylon had conquered many kingdoms. And so there were many kings that were in captivity and brought to Babylon. And Jehoiakim, king of Israel, before he was deported, was made the highest ruler in the land besides the king of Babylon himself. Very similar to Joseph. He was raised up, taken out of prison, given new clothes. He got new garments. He ate regularly at the king's table, and he got an allowance. And if your children try to throw this at you, just say, you're not a king. You don't have allowance to give them. Okay? Does that remind you of anybody? If you turn to him, you've got a new king. He can take you out of your prisons. He will speak kindly to you. He will give you priestly robes, fresh garments to wear, and an inheritance. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. He'll fill you. Israel stands today because of the remnant that survived, not because of the people that would not turn away from their sin. Israel survives today because they survived through surrender. And this has nothing to do with the current situation. I mean, it might, someone might make something out of it, but I wrote this 2 months ago, so it was before the attack in Israel. And we continue to pray for Israel. In fact, my notebook is Christians United for Israel, which we all should be. What about you? Which king are you going to follow? Do you want to be like Jehoiachin? Or do you want to be like Zedekiah? Obviously, you can see his pride. He will not turn. He's the king. And some of us get that same attitude. This is my life. I'm the king of my decisions. I'll do what I want to do. I'm not a bad person. I wouldn't be here if God didn't place me here. I'd rather be like Jehoiachin. Are you going to forget about whatever got you lost? So lost and handed over to sin? Can you forget about how you got to where you are? The nation of Israel was lost. They were no longer listening to God. And judgment came. But afterwards, all that was forgotten. They're still God's chosen people today. Do you want to be one of God's chosen people? Forget about where you are or what got you where you are. That no longer matters. What matters is today. What are you going to do today? What king are you going to follow today? Or are you going to let pride hold you back? Let me go over what it cost King Zedekiah. And everything in here is exactly as the prophet told him it would be. He tried to escape. Let me read the scriptures. Chapter 52, 7 through 14. Then the city wall was broken through, and the whole army fled. They left the city by night through the gate between the two walls near the king's garden. Though the Babylonians were surrounding the city, they fled towards the Arabah. But the Babylonian army pursued King Zedekiah, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his soldiers were separated from him and scattered, and he was captured. Those are the exact words Prophet Jeremiah told him would happen, that he would be captured. He was. He was taken to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced sentence on him. There at Riblah, the king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his very eyes. He also killed all those officials of Judah. You know, the ones that he didn't want to let on that he spoke to the prophet about. He cost them men their lives. He cost his sons their lives. And then they put out Zedekiah's eyes. The last thing Zedekiah saw was his sons being killed. I believe women and children too got killed during the attack and invasion. And his so-called friends and officials were killed. And then he saw nothing else. He was bound with shackles, bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon, where he put him in prison until the day of his death. I think the more I read, the easier the choice is. Anybody for Zedekiah? I'll take Jehoiakim in his way. He was blinded and died in prison. The city walls were torn apart as well in verse 10. So everything the prophet told him was done. Nothing was left undone that God said he would do if you didn't surrender. What about you? If you have not surrendered, you're in danger. There will come a judgment day. Whether it's by an untimely death, or you die of old age, or you're murdered or in a car accident or whatever. There isn't any of us that's gonna escape death. It's gonna happen sometime. And after death, the judgment. Do you think you can surrender then? I don't believe so. I think we're given a choice in this lifetime to surrender while there is yet day, while there is yet time. That's when we need to surrender. He promised us survival. Okay, that was heavy. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. I have a little understanding of not wanting to surrender to a heathen king, a little bit. But when God says to do it, you better do it. But we today have so much greater of a promise, of an assurance than Zedekiah had. Even greater than Jehoiakim. Galatians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 7. I got to get the right chapter. Thank you. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters, because you are sons and daughters. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, a child of God, God has also made you an heir. I want to be an heir. I want to be a son. I don't want the punishment of God upon me. And if you have not surrendered, I'm just going to say it. You must. You must surrender to Jesus. There's no other way. And beyond being a son, he can give you so much joy and peace. I'm looking at a room full of people, and like 90% of you have more biblical education in me. All of you ought to be up here and I ought to be listening. But I'm a son and I've been given the promise and I've been given the Holy Spirit and I have been given the word. So have you. So have you. Does anybody want to give up? Does anybody want to surrender? Say, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I need you. I need you, Father. This altar is open. This altar is open. I just ask you to think about where you're at. And you may have never given your heart to the Lord. As I said, if you didn't understand some of the music, if you didn't understand about the veil, you needed this message. Some of you may be living on the fringe in religiosity, like the leaders under Zedekiah. Some of them were called priests, scribes, titles of the religious day. They died. You remember? They were murdered by the king of Babylon. They're gone. Are you on the fringe? Are you going to church because it's duty? Are you going to church because you can feel the peace of God? You can feel the joy of God. I can remember as a kid, I used to love to sleep in church because there's peace in his house. There's peace in his house. Don't look at me, Amy. You slept in church too. That's my daughter. So give your heart to him. Surrender whatever you've got left. Maybe you feel like, what am I gonna give a king? What do I have that a king wants? He wants to love you. He wants you to know you're his. He wants to speak kindly to you. He wants to have relation with you. Going back to the garden, why did he make mankind? He didn't need to make us. He had everything. He had angels worshiping him. He made us because he wants covenant with us. He wants relationship with us. He wants relationship with you. And I don't know where the camera is or anything. I ain't used to this stuff, but if anyone out there, he wants relationship with you. Thank you. He wants relationship with you. Pastor Pavel puts me in such a great light. I feel so unworthy. A year and a half ago when I came to this church, I hadn't given up on God, but boy, I had given up on a lot. I'd almost given up on church, not Jesus. And in a year and a half, I've grown so much. And I know that I had started to try to take back some of the things that I had surrendered. But my surrender was wholehearted. And if you need to get back to wholehearted surrender, come on up. Come on up. I asked for a song. Did you? They're ready. They're good. I asked for this song because it spoke to my heart. I hope it speaks to yours. Feel free, this altar is open.